Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8, verse number 26. Tonight we're studying another in the lesson of what happened when we got saved. Tonight, intercession. Intercession. Romans, chapter 8. Now, once I've read several verses there, I want you to put a little marker there in your Bible. We're going to come back to it after a while, so I want you to have it, be able to just turn right to it when we do. Romans 8:26 is the first verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now in verse number 33, I'll read two verses again. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, leaving a marker there, turn to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 23. And I want you to put a marker there too. So these are the only two passages we'll be studying tonight. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. In other words, these Old Testament priests died, and someone took their place. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Our Heavenly Father, just to read these verses would be enough to get blessed. But now we're going to study them together. May we study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Bless our study to our edification tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. And now, Father, we come to the book. May we teach it aright, and may we be interested in it. Help us to be more interested in the Bible than the latest events about the O.J. Simpson murder problem. Help us be more interested about the things of the Bible than about the Chicago Bears game next Saturday. Help us to be as concerned about the Bible as anything in all the world. Our eternity will be studied tonight. Help us to rejoice in it and want to know about it. In Jesus' name, amen. This lesson deals basically with the inner workings of imputation and justification. Because of that, we're not going to review, and I'm sure you'll be sorry to hear this, we're not going to review, and I have been ridiculed and mocked by numbers of you. I can't hear you, I can't hear you. Louder, please. Anybody home? All of those things I have to do, that I would not have to do if you were cooperative type people. But we're not going to go through the long list tonight of imputation and justification and propitiation and sanctification and all that stuff. I mean, all those wonderful doctrines. We are going to basically study two of those in the light of the doctrine of intercession. When I got saved, immediately intercession began. And there was an immediate work of the Godhead concerning intercession. Now, I'm going to make a statement that I've never made and you've never heard about intercession. Intercession is the Trinity reminding each other to do what each would do anyway. Let me say it again. Intercession is the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because all three are our intercessors, and I'll show you in a few minutes. The intercession is the Trinity reminding each other to do what each would do anyway. And this doctrine of intercession basically is to give us double security and double assurance, if you please. Now, foundation. In the Passover lamb, or Passover day, the lamb was taken and the lamb was slain. But that wasn't enough. The blood of that lamb had to be taken and applied on the doorpost of the lintels of the house. On the Day of Atonement, the substitute had to be offered, the sacrifice offering had to be made. And then the high priest had to take the blood of that offering and go inside the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. Now, it was not the blood shed that saved. It was the shed blood applied that saved. Now, that's, you wonder, what's all this stuff? You hear about this thing about John MacArthur, and every time Bill Burr leads us in saying nothing but the blood, he dedicates it to John MacArthur. And what is that deal? Deal simply this. John MacArthur said that we're saved by the death of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ probably just went in the ground at the foot of Calvary and stayed there. Now, if that's the truth, you would not go to heaven, and I wouldn't either. Because the blood of the lamb on Passover had to be applied on the doorpost of the house. And the blood of the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement had to be taken inside the Holy of Holies and applied on the mercy seat. Now, Jesus is our lamb. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ, our Passover. He is our Lamb. So, the sacrifice that was made on the Day of Atonement was simply a picture that Jesus someday would come and be God's perfect sacrifice once and for all. Now then, Jesus rose from the dead. Now, this is why the resurrection is so important in the plan of salvation. Because Jesus must be not only our Lamb, but he must be our high priest. So as our lamb, he died on Calvary. As our high priest, he had to rise from the dead to take his blood to the mercy seat. And of course, you've heard me say this again and again and again. That's why Mary Magdalene, Jesus said to her, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." For the high priest, when he had the blood from the altar, could not be touched by the hands of men until he sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. And Jesus was on his way to heaven with his own blood to sprinkle that blood on heaven's mercy seat. So that's why that we're not only is it necessary for Jesus to pay the price for our sin, but he had to take his own blood and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. That's one reason why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when God tells us what the gospel is, he includes the resurrection in the gospel. Every time I win a soul to Christ, every time I explain the plan of salvation to an unsaved person, I always tell about the resurrection, because the resurrection of Christ is as much a part of the gospel as the death of Christ. Now, if you simply in soul winning tell how that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin, and that's all, then you're a soul winning John MacArthur, because you're leaving the blood there at the foot of the cross. You've got to get that blood in the mercy seat, and the resurrection of Christ is necessary. Now, as soon as I got saved, and all that was background to what I'm going to say now. As soon as I got saved, three intercessors went to work. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and yes, God the Father. These three intercessors, an intercessor simply means someone that goes to somebody on behalf of another. Now, these three intercessors started their work as soon as I got saved. I call your attention to the first intercessor, and that's Jesus Christ, my intercessor. Now take your Bibles and open the Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 33. I want you to look at it. We're going to have a little word study first, then come back and teach you what it means. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Now, what that word condemn means is, who is he that tries to write the record, our sins on our record? Who is it? Well, of course, you and I know that Satan is the accuser. And so, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather than risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. Now look at me, I want to teach that. Number one, Revelation 12:10 says that Satan is the accuser. All right, now, I'm going to get my phone book here. Now, I'm going to let this represent the book of heaven, as I've done so often. Now we're going to talk, we're not going to go through the whole review, but we are going to go through the view of imputation. All right, now the reason that I need to be saved is because I was a what? And my sins were what? Recorded. And there was a what on sin? A price on sin. All right? So my sins there are recorded in the book. And I that's got to be cared for. Now, see, why were my sins recorded? Because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is the one trying to get my sins written down on the record in heaven. So he is the accuser. Number two. Who shall allow an accusation to be recorded? Verse number 33 and verse 33a says that. Who shall lay anything the charge of God's elect? That means this. It is Satan that's trying to get my sins recorded in heaven. But it says that God declares we've never sinned. It said right there in the same verse. It said it is God that justifieth. All right, now follow me carefully. Satan is trying to get God to record my sins. But the doctrine of imputation comes in. And that means when I got saved, the imputation means, first, my past sins were what? My past sins were what? Removed. Say it again. My past sins were removed. And that means that my future sins are not what? And they will not be recorded. But something else is recorded there on my record, and that something else is the what? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, to get our study here, I want to get it straight now. In the book, my sins are recorded. When I got saved, my past sins were? My future sins will not be? And what is recorded in the place? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now then, the intercessorship is this. Jesus, as the high priest, sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And the Bible says he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Now, why is he sitting down there? He's sitting down at the right hand of the Father to see to it that no sin is recorded against my record. Now, the Father wouldn't do it anyway. But we've got a double security here. The Heavenly Father refuses to put my sin. The Satan comes up and Satan says, how's this sin? Of course, it's been a long time. But how's this sin? And write it down there. And Jesus said, Father, see that blood right there? Because that blood, that covers how's this sins. So Jesus is my intercessor, is there at the right hand of the Father, and he is pleading his own blood for me, and that's why the blood is there. The blood is there as a constant reminder to the Heavenly Father, not to record my sins. And the devil says, put that sin down. And Jesus said, Father, that sin was charged to me. And that's why, look at verse number 33 again. Who shall lay anything the charge of God's elect? What does that mean? Who shall try, who can get my sins recorded? Nobody can. Why? Because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding, pleading my case, remind the Father of his blood that covers my sins. So when Satan says, write a sin down there. Now this is a little exaggeration, but I suppose God the Father says, okay, I'll do it. And Jesus says, hold it, hold it. My blood covered that sin too. and that's imputation. So the doctrine of imputation is effected by the intercessor, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter number 7, and let's look at that for a minute. Hebrews chapter number 7. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. All right, look at me. Every year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest took the blood of the innocent substitute and placed it on the mercy seat. But he had to do it every year. But our high priest ascended to heaven, did it once and for all, won't have to be done anymore. And after that high priest got old, and maybe up to 68 or so, he'd die. Another high priest had to come. And then he would die. Another high priest had to come. But now then we have a high priest that ever liveth to make intercession for us. He will not die. He ever liveth to make intercession. Now, I checked this as carefully as I could. I opened my Greek New Testament and I studied it in my Greek New Testament. Then I went to Vine's Expository Dictionary, the easy way to study. And I checked it in several different books. I checked it best I could. But here's what it means. It means that the high priest in the Old Testament would sprinkle that blood and it'd last for a year. Jesus Christ is going to sit at the right hand of the Father and be my intercessor. He ever liveth. What does that mean? That means that for all eternity he'll be reminding the Father that my sins are not recorded. He ever liveth. I checked that word, ever, that term, ever liveth, and there's nothing you can put it. It doesn't mean when he lives. No, it means he ever liveth. Forever. 10 million years from now, Jesus will still be reminding the Father that my sins are covered by the blood. Now, that's imputation. And the job of the Savior as my high priest, one sacrifice, that's why we don't have Mass. One sacrifice, that's why we don't observe the Passover every year. Just one sacrifice. That's all that's needed. When John the Baptist announced the coming of Jesus Christ, he didn't say, "Behold the King who's going to rule." He didn't say, "Behold the Savior that's going to save." He didn't say, "Behold." He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Not a lamb, but the Lamb. The fulfillment of every lamb that was slain in the Old Testament. Not only do we have one lamb for all, we have one high priest for all, and he started interceding for me. I got saved when I was almost 11. Let's suppose I went home the next day and disobeyed my mother. The devil said, "Write that down." Jesus said, "It's under the blood, Father." And the Father would not write it down. All of my past sins had been removed, and God will not write a single future sin against me. Now, the guy that teaches this is got problems. He's got rooms for rent upstairs. Preachers say, "One of these days, you're going to stand before God, and God's going to have a television set or a camera, and God's going to show your whole life, and your whole life's going to flash before you, and you're going to see every sin you ever committed flash before you." Brother, that guy doesn't even know what grace is all about. Praise God, my God not only will not show my sin at the judgment, He's forgotten my sin. There, my sins are wiped away. He's forgotten them. And He has not recorded a single sin I've committed since the day I got saved. No, sir, you won't face your... Now, you may pay physically on earth, you may pay for the sins you commit. But you dead sure will not face your sins anymore, because there are no sins you've committed on there that are listed on God's record. And Jesus Christ is right there, right now, at the right hand of the Father, sitting down there beside the blood which is on the mercy seat, as a constant reminder of my Heavenly Father that my old sins have been removed, that no new sin shall be... You say, "Brother Isles, if I believe that, I'd just go out and sin all I want to." If you don't sin more than you want to, you haven't got what I've got. A fellow said one time, Dr. John Rice, I heard him say it. He said, "If I believe what you preach, I'd just get saved and justified and go out and have my fill of sin." Dr. Rice, that's exactly what I did. He said, I had my fill of sin years and years ago. Now let's turn quickly to the second intercessor that we have. Look at Romans chapter 8 once again in verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now I'm going to give you a little word study. That word infirmity there means weakness. It is not a word that means sickness. It means weakness. So here the Holy Spirit's going to help our weakness here. Here's the weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now look at me. You don't know what you need. You don't know what you need to pray for. I mean, the honest truth is, if you got all you prayed for, you'd be amazed sometimes what had wrecked your life. You don't. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our weakness. What is our weakness? We know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now look at me, I'll teach that to you. There are times when I cannot talk when I come to pray. There have been times in my life, I dare say you've had times in your life, you come to pray and you're crushed. You just can't talk. You're crying so much you can't talk. So what does the Holy Spirit do? He tells the Heavenly Father what you're going to say. Secondly, sometimes I don't know what to ask. Illustration. I pray for Dr. Hudson several times a day, but I haven't got the foggiest idea what to pray for. I called down yesterday and talked to his family, and they say he's barely can get up. Barely can walk. Never gets outside the house anymore. I don't know what to pray for. I have never prayed for God to take anybody to heaven. But I don't want to pray for him to stay and suffer. Good night. A room there, suffering in one room versus running all over heaven is not much competition. But I don't know. I won't pray for God to kill somebody. If I'm going to pray for God to kill somebody, it's not going to be Curtis Hudson. I done got my hit list over on my desk right now. But I do not know what to pray for Curtis Hudson. So, the Holy Spirit's my intercessor. When I don't know what to ask, I say, Holy Spirit, would you tell the Heavenly Father I want what you want? He's my intercessor. Jesus is my intercessor at the right hand of the Father concerning my sins, concerning the doctrine of amputation. The Holy Spirit is my intercessor. What did I say? Amputation, right. I didn't know you were listening to me. That's the most encouraging thing that's happened all night. I had the foggiest eye to you listening to me. Okie dokie. I'm nervous. I didn't know I had this many folks listening to me now and what to say. Jesus is my intercessor concerning the doctrine of imputation. The Holy Spirit is my intercessor concerning prayer. I said, number one, sometimes I can't talk. And he tells the Heavenly Father what I was going to say. Sometimes I don't know what to ask. Number three, sometimes I give him veto power. I'll say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray for something from the Heavenly Father. Now, I want you to take the message to him for me. Now, you say, well, this is sort of juvenile. Well, it beats not praying. But I do it. See, the Holy Spirit is as real to me as you are. And he pays a lot more attention to me. He pays attention to the correct things I say. But I'll say to him, I'll say, Holy Spirit, if I'm praying to the Father, but but if you think I shouldn't pray this, you tell the Father not to do it. I'll give him veto power. Now then, number four, and this is where I use him the most as my intercessor in prayer. Let me get my little thing here. Let's be a little ridiculous, and let's let the Holy Spirit be over here and the Heavenly Father be over here. It's time to pray, and I'm going to pray, and the Bible says we know not what we ought to pray for. We know what to pray as we ought. We don't know. Look, we're as depraved when we choose what to pray for as we are any other time in our lives. So if the Holy Spirit needs to lead me while I talk to you, shouldn't he lead me while I talk to the Father? I ask the Holy Spirit to lead me when I speak to man on God's behalf. Why shouldn't I ask the Holy Spirit to lead me as I speak to God on man's behalf? So I come to the Holy Spirit and I say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to go to the Heavenly Father in a few minutes and I'm going to ask him for some things. I'm going to make my prayer list here. I have a chapter in my book on prayer called The Holy Spirit, My Prayer Partner. And this is a part of that book, I think. I say, I'm going to make my prayer list, Holy Spirit. Now, would you help me make that prayer list? Would you control my thinking, and would you lead me as I make that prayer list? So I'll go through the prayer list and make my prayer list with the Holy Spirit's help. Now, by the way, this is regular. Children, listen to me. This is regular for me. This is part of my prayer life is grace at the table. I make a new prayer list. Now I have an old prayer list, but as you know, every day I have a time where I praise the Lord, and I write down the things I ought to praise Him for before I praise Him. I make a list. I ask the Holy Spirit remind me what I ought to praise God for today, and so the Holy Spirit will lead me to make up that list, and I go over here to the Heavenly Father, and I praise Him. I'll take that list with me. And I'll praise Him for what the Holy Spirit and I decided a while ago I'd praise Him about. Then I go to another spot every day, and I figure out how to worship Him. I praise Him for what He does. I worship Him for what He is. So I'll make another list, and I'll say, Holy Spirit, would you guide me as I make this list of what God is? Now, a while ago, I made a list of things that God has done for me, and I go over here, and I praise the Heavenly Father what God has done. Then I come back over here and ask the Holy Spirit to help me make a list of what God is. God is love, and God is mercy, and God is gracious, and God is kind. And I ask the Holy Spirit to help me make that list. Then I go over here to the Heavenly Father, and I worship. Now, the first time I have a spell, second time I'm rather quiet. First time I'll say, glory to God, baptized 10,000 this year. Woo! Man alive! And I'm saved, and my sins are not recorded, and you won't record them, and I'll have a spell. I go back over here, then I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me know what I ought to worship Him for. And then I come over here, and I'll look up, and I'll say, I love You because of your love, and Your mercy, and Your grace, and how wonderful You are, and I love You. Your wife fixes a good lunch for Christmas Day, and you have a ham and a roast beef or a turkey or something, and you say to your wife, wow, this is good. Boy, whoo, my soul, this is good. But when you get in the car and drive out Lover's Lane, your wife I'm talking about, or if you go out on the front porch in the summertime and the moon is like a big round piece of cheese, you don't look at her and say, wow, glory to God, wow! No, you say, I sure love You. You're great. You do that, don't you? Now, that's the worship. Now, bear in mind, the Holy Spirit's helping me. He's my intercessor. I go over here, and He and I make out a list of things that God has done for me. Then I go over here, and I praise God for them. Then I go back over here, and the Holy Spirit and I make out a list of things that God is to me. And then I go over here, and I get that list, and I worship God. Then I go back over here, and I make a list of my sins I need to confess. Of course, it doesn't take very long. But
I make a list of the sins I'm going to confess. And I ask the Holy Spirit to remind me of what sins I've committed. Then I make a list of those sins. The Holy Spirit, I make a list of my sins. He has to help me there because I don't remember many of them. And then I take that list. I go back over here to the Heavenly Father. And I confess my sins to the Heavenly Father. Then I come back over here and I say, now, Holy Spirit, help me know what I ought to pray for. See, worship is not prayer. Confession is not prayer. Praise is not prayer. Prayer is a form of talking to God, but all talking to God is not prayer. So then I make my fourth list, and the fourth list is a list of things I ought to pray for. And I say, Holy Spirit, you know more about this than I do. You know what I need. I may have something here written down on this list that shouldn't be down here. Or I may want to ask God for something I shouldn't have. You lead me and help me make out the list. And He does. Then I go back over here and I ask God for the things that are on my prayer list. Let me go through it again. By the way, this will change your prayer life. If you'd take 30 minutes a day and do what I'm talking about right now, it'll transform your prayer life. The Holy Spirit helps you. He's the intercessor. Look at the verse there again. In chapter number 8 of Romans, in verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings. And that word groanings means strength. That's what it means in the Greek, strength. The Holy Spirit gives us strength. We're too weak to know what to pray for. He gives us strength to pray for things that we wouldn't have uttered. He tells us what to pray for. Now, so every day I get me a little 3x5 card like this, and I get me a pen, and I go over to a place and I say, now, Holy Spirit, I wanna be sure that I praise my Heavenly Father for the things He deserves praise for. Now you lead me and control my mind and help me as I make the list. I'll make the list. I'll look at it and I'll say, now, Holy Spirit, anything I'll add to that list. Then I'll take that list over here and I'll look up to God and I'll have a spell and I'll praise Him and I'll maybe take my shoes off and I'll just have a time praising God. Then I go back over here to another place, not the same place, but tonight we are, and I get another 3x5 card. And I ask the Holy Spirit to lead me. See, He's interceding for me. And I ask the Holy Spirit, now, what should I worship God for? What about God should I praise Him for today? And it may be that His forgiveness is the thing that I praise Him for the most today. His mercy, His patience. And I'll make a list. I go back over here and I say, Heavenly Father, I love You. Thank You for Your patience, my soul, and how forgiving. Thank You for Your forgiveness and Your long-suffering. And You're wonderful, and I love You, and I adore You, and I worship You. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what true worship is. A bunch of people haven't been to church since last Sunday morning, watched the HBO on Saturday night, coming to church on Sunday morning, a choir standing up and singing a sevenfold Amen, and having some kind of ritual. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now at the time of our death. Holy cow, Mother of God. I mean, that's not worship. There's no such thing as a worship service in the Bible. Worship is between you and your God. And you'll never worship Him like you ought to worship Him till you come over here and you get instruction from the Holy Spirit concerning how you ought to worship your God. Then I come back over here and I ask the Holy Spirit to remind me of my sins. And I list my sins. I come back over here to the Heavenly Father and I say, God, forgive me of this one. And by the way, I pray with my eyes open. And I usually pray walking. Now, sometimes I'll throw myself down on the ground or maybe if I'm in a room, on the carpet in the room. And sometimes I will. But I usually pray like this, with a card, 3x5 card on it, and I walk like this, and I'll say, "Oh God, there's something I've been praying for lately, very strongly," and I may pray 15 minutes for that one thing, but I have my list, I have my notes, I have my notes when I talk to you. I got notes on in my Bible right now. Why shouldn't I have notes when I talk to God? You think I ought to be dumber when I talk to God than I am when I talk to you? And by the way, you don't have to come and say, "Oh, thou the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." No, he's your heavenly Papa. You don't have to come like that. You have to have all that old, that highbrow ritualistic stuff. Dr. Rice used to say, if Peter prayed that way, he'd drown. Started walking on the water, began to sink. "Thou the great God of blah, 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 blah," and he's gone. God's not concerned about your Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now in the time of our death and all that kind of garbage. No, God's concerned about you coming with a sincere heart, and God wants you to beg Him for what you need. And so that's the way I pray, with notes. Holy Spirit, and what I should praise Him for, then praise God, looking at the list. And then Holy Spirit, and what I should worship Him over, and come back and worship Him, looking at the list. And then, Holy Spirit, help me make the list of my sins, and come back, and I look at my list and confess my sins. And then the Holy Spirit helps me make out my prayer list. And then I come back and ask God for what I ought to ask Him for. You say, "Brother Hiles, that would take 30 minutes. Yeah, that's half of Oprah. That's one Andy Griffith show. That's one CBS Evening News. I don't know the other programs. That's one ABC Evening News. NBC Evening News. Fox Evening News. The truth is, the average person in this room doesn't pray 30 minutes a day, and that is an abomination in the sight of God Almighty. The Holy Spirit is my intercessor. He started that when I got saved, helping me to pray. Now, quickly, one last thing, and I love this very much. Look at verse 27 of Romans chapter number 8. Verse 27. "And he that searcheth the hearts..." Let's stop there. 1 Corinthians 28:9 says, "It is God the Father, the Lord, that searcheth the hearts of men." So this verse is talking about the Heavenly Father. Now in verses 33 and 34, Jesus was our intercessor at the right hand of God, the Father. In verse 26, the Holy Spirit's our intercessor in prayer. Now in verse 27, God the Father. Now if you listen to me about 5 minutes now, we're going to have a business meeting and then go home. But now listen to me very, very carefully, because I love this with all my heart. It says, "He that searcheth the hearts," that's the Father, "knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he," the Father, "maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So Jesus is my intercessor at the right hand of the Father, reminding the Father, hear me now, reminding the Father to do what the Father would do if he hadn't reminded him. Not to write my sins down, and reminding that my past sins are all gone, and the righteousness of Christ is on my record. And then the Holy Spirit intercedes for me as I come to pray, because I don't know what I ought to pray for. Sometimes I can't pray, I can't talk, and He intercedes for me into the Father. Sometimes I don't know what to pray, and so He intercedes for me and tells the Father what's best for me. And sometimes I pray and I'm not sure that's what I ought to ask for. So I give Him veto power and say, "Holy Spirit, this is not best. Tell the Father that your opinion, your judgment is better than mine." And then He always helps me make out my list I mentioned a while ago. Now then we find out that the Heavenly Father is our intercessor. Jesus, our intercessor. Holy Spirit, our intercessor. Now what does the Heavenly Father do? I love this. Heavenly Father keeps reminding the Holy Spirit to intercede for me when I pray. Holy Spirit's going to do it anyway. But He intercedes. Heavenly Father intercedes for me to tell the Holy Spirit to be sure and do it. And then the Heavenly Father intercedes for me and keeps reminding Jesus, stay there and remind Him. Did you ever tell somebody, Don't forget to remind me to do this. Don't forget to remind me. When you get 68, you'll tell five or six people, especially if they're 65. But anyway, don't forget me. Don't forget to remind me of this now. Now, the Heavenly Father, only thing He ever forgets is my sins. And He don't need reminding. But it gives me a little added assurance. So the Heavenly Father says, Jesus, don't forget to remind me not to put those sins down Jack commits. And Jesus says, Father, don't put those sins down Jack commits. And the Father says, thank you, Jesus, for reminding me not to put those sins down Jack commits. Double security. Don't just sit there, feel something. Double security. What a salvation. Well, we're going to have a business meeting. What a business meeting.